and welcome to Euromonitor International's podcast series. In this series, we explore the impact of the coronavirus on global industries, economies, and consumers. I'm your host, Peter Kosmel. Today, I'm joined again by Francois Rasvidauskas, our cities consultant here at Euromonitor. So, Francois, thanks so much for being back on the show. We last talked back in April. So how are things in Lithuania since we last talked?
Well, we had a patch of normality actually during the summer months when the first lockdown ended, and we seemed to go back to normality. And so we had, I'd say, around 6 to 8 weeks of normal life, and things began to take a turn for the worse towards the end of the summer when COVID-19 rates were going up and up and up. And now we've entered a second national lockdown. So it is a bit depressing, and a lot of the shops, restaurants, services will be closing down. So I think it's going to be quite an interesting Christmas for this year.
Yeah, same here. We're hitting record cases, I think, every day here in the States, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the winter.
Exactly, yeah.
Last time we talked, we discussed how the coronavirus had hit cities harder than it had in rural areas. And I was wondering if you have a larger perspective now that we're kind of a bit farther removed from that initial impact of the virus.
Well, there is no doubt that the virus itself has a very large impact on cities. Just to illustrate, in 2020, so for this year, we forecast that 90% of cities that we analyze will actually record negative real GDP growth. And this is significantly more than during the financial crisis, when it was around 55% or so. And this is because the cases of coronavirus has actually been largely concentrated in urban areas. And there are some interesting stats on this. For example, during the first wave of the pandemic in spring 2020, nearly half of all cases in India were located in four major cities: Mumbai, Chennai, Kolkata, and Delhi. Meanwhile, in Madrid, it has so far accounted for 30% of all COVID-19 cases in Spain, but it only houses around 15% of the country's total population. And this is a trend that we are actually seeing in other countries such as the US, France, and Brazil. And it is possibly because cities are very densely populated, as you know, and this obviously supports easier transmission of the virus.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, I'm in the States and I live in Chicago. So I'm seeing kind of firsthand how the city is handling spikes in coronavirus cases. I think last week it was, they just announced that restaurants and bars are going to have to be closed to indoor seating due to a rise in cases. And on the kind of on the back of that, I was wondering, how important are cities to the global economy, and how is the coronavirus impacting the existence of cities?
So cities have a disproportional advantage in terms of their contribution to the global economy. For example, in 2019, the world's 500 most populous cities accounted for half of global GDP, with just a quarter of the total population. So this suggests that cities are highly productive and concentrate substantial levels of wealth and economic power. Now, one of the major reasons why cities are so productive is because they benefit from economic agglomeration and business networking, which drives the exchange of ideas and innovation. However, with the current social distancing measures and movement restrictions that are being imposed, the productivity benefits are becoming less apparent, and this will ultimately hurt the economic potential of cities, at least in the near term.
Yeah, right. I mean, if people aren't working in cities, I imagine that the economy of those cities is going to start to take a hit.
Yeah, I mean, I think this all depends on the severity and the length of the pandemic, because we are seeing a resurgence of cases in Europe, and have already passed the 8-month mark since the World Health Organization announced the pandemic. If the pandemic does go on and continue through to 2021, it would be a major blow to city economies, mainly because people will have their incomes cut. Many businesses are likely to go bankrupt. And obviously, the other aspect is that municipal governments will have their budget cuts. And this obviously relates to, or this translates to, lower public spending. Now, given the high costs of living in cities, it could lead to some people possibly moving away from large and expensive cities to smaller cities or suburban locations, which are a bit more cost effective and cheaper. But I think what we need to understand is that when thinking about this pandemic, we need to really put this into perspective, because it's not the first health crisis to have come by. So we had the Black Death in the Middle Ages, the Spanish flu of 1918 to 1920, and obviously the quite recently the swine flu pandemic in 2009 to 2010, all of which have come and gone, but city life continued. Also, the other thing is that there's also research into the creation and rollout of a vaccine. So this will also be a crucial point of interest in how great the impact will be of the pandemic on cities.
I'm curious to know what you think the most significant impact to city life has been since the pandemic started.
I think one of the most radical changes we have seen has actually been the growth of teleworking or remote working, or, you know, it's got other names such as home working. And this has actually become the norm and been vital in actually mitigating the spread of the virus, but also simultaneously helping businesses to remain active and maintain business activity. And as people have grown accustomed to remote work, though, questions have surfaced about the cost effectiveness of city life and whether actually moving to cities is still a necessary aspect. So,
sure.
Just as an example, I just thought, well, if we take, for instance, Paris. In Paris, expenditure on housing was around 34% more than in smaller cities such as Saint-Étienne or Metz. Then, you know, why live in Paris? Why not live in these smaller cities that are cheaper and you could also do the same job?
Right.
And I think what this does signal is that distance is no longer the dominant prerequisite, you know, to finding employment. And this could be an important trend in the future of work and also how people live.
Yeah, especially now. It's like, why live in a major city if everything's closed anyways, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
My next question is, you mentioned home working, teleworking. You know, it's funny here in Chicago in the Euromonitor office, you know, they've opened it back up to people who want to go in. And I've been in a couple times and there's been like four or five people, you know, there's like nobody there. And I have friends whose offices, you know, are saying, okay, we're not going to open till March 2021. I have other friends whose offices have closed completely and they're saying, we're never coming back. Everyone's just going to work remote. So my question is, do you think this working at home trend is going to stay?
It does sound staggering how things have changed. Mm-hmm. And I think it will become more commonplace for jobs actually to be done remotely, and more so in certain sectors than in others. So for instance, if we take IT, marketing, finance, accountancy, these are the sorts of jobs you could imagine people doing remotely. And I think one of the benefits for companies is obviously it helps minimize some of the costs associated with, you know, office space, office equipment and supplies. But at the same time, you also have to recognize that there are some challenges and downsides of remote working that need to be pointed out.
Sure.
Firstly, this is not something that can be easily or practically replicated in all industries such as, you know, manufacturing, research and development and retail. Examples of industries where you need hands-on work. Likewise, it will be more challenging for companies to build some sort of company culture. And I presume that what this could possibly lead to is less possibly employee loyalty. And also the other thing to mention is that remote work has been generally more accessible for wealthier people. And such opportunities have come far and fewer for less wealthy people. So not everyone can actually enjoy the benefits of remote work. And this, again, highlights digital divides.
So the big question here is, do you think that the coronavirus is going to end life in cities?
Yeah, I've heard this. I've heard this before, and I've heard this during the pandemic. And I think not at all. I think cities are here to stay, and will continue to play an important role in our society. I think this anti-city sentiment has grown during the pandemic, simply because we are in a very unprecedented situation, and many of the safety features that are being rolled out, you know, are almost movie-like.
Right.
But this pandemic, like others in the past, will go away, I presume, and people will continue to be drawn to cities for their opportunities, for their culture, for their lifestyle. But I do think that the pandemic will change us, and I think our cities will also change. So to think that we will go back to our usual way of life would also be, let's just put it, unfitting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear, you know, the optimism about city life. And I, like you said, I have to imagine that life in cities will change in the future. And you mentioned this. So what do you think we should be prepared for?
Well, there are a couple of aspects that could change with cities. This includes the appearance of the central business district, travel and urban mobility in cities, and the spatial urban developments of cities. So, for example, the 15 or 20 minute city is gaining traction. And what it is, it focuses on making all essential public services and amenities available within a 15 or 20 minute walk or cycle. This idea was actually already tested in Melbourne before the pandemic, actually quite successfully, and cities such as Paris and Milan are already putting in plans to actually trial this concept. This idea also concentrates on actually utilizing hybrid spaces. So it means that we are no longer monopolizing buildings and spaces to one activity, and we instead virtue on flexibility. I would imagine that in such places, urban mobility will favor walking and cycling, and long rush hour commutes will possibly become something less prevalent in our urban lives. Another key point I think is important to note is that remote work, as we discussed earlier, will become more pervasive, especially in developed economies. And I think what this will do is it will alter the residential and commercial real estate markets, especially among tier one and lower tier cities. And this is just another way of describing large and smaller cities. So, for example, there could be greater demand for residential space in second and third tier cities, mainly due to cheaper housing and more space. And we have seen this happening already in some Indian cities such as Kanpur, Gwalior, and Indore. At the same time, tier one cities could gain greater importance as places for liaison, with commercial space being used for meetings and project management, and less so as places for full-time work. And this is because companies will still want to encourage physical contact for the exchange of ideas, because we know that there are some limits to online collaboration tools. That's obviously one issue. The future of work, well, that could be a blended mix of remote and office-based work. Thirdly, cities will place even greater focus on being green and sustainable. They will favor cycling and walking over internal combustion engine car use and organic over mass-produced goods. And we are already seeing some cities such as Amsterdam focusing on the donut model of economics. And it essentially seeks to create a life for people and planet that is healthy and retracts from resource overuse. What COVID has done is it's put under the spotlight urban health and how pollution has actually suppressed human health and made people more susceptible to respiratory ailments. So improved health will be a very important factor for cities when managing such future health crises. And finally, hygiene and health monitoring in cities will become much more prevalent. We are seeing disinfectant fluid being placed in buses, shops, sports venues, you know, pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, businesses are employing the use of thermometers at building entry points as well. And just as an example, in the city of Bilbao in Spain, thermal imaging cameras were already being used in metro stations to measure the temperature of people and identify if anyone has or is suffering from a fever. There's also this thing about ultraviolet sea lighting, which can be used in disinfecting indoor spaces. And it is very actually efficient at eradicating pathogens. So while it is easy to get depressed by the current state of the economy and our social life, I'm sure that we will see light at the end of the tunnel with new and interesting changes that will hopefully engineer more sustainable, better prepared, happier, and obviously healthier cities.
Well, that's a great note to end on, Francois, and thank you so much for coming back on the show. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this podcast. Remember, you can find all of our episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by searching for Euromonitor Podcasts. And you can keep up with our coronavirus research by navigating to euromonitor.com/coronavirus.